And if you are looking for wisdom this morning, may your faith be built up that he's here to give wisdom and comfort and guidance and strength and everything that we need this morning. He's here for that. He's here to meet us. And not only for our own selfish needs, but so that he may be glorified. Amen? Just so encouraged. It seems like we sung the gospel this morning. Amen? There's nothing to add to that this morning. All hail King Jesus. It's all because of him. It's all for him. That is why we live, and that is why we gave our lives. We didn't give our lives to take it back. We gave it so that it may be a sacrifice pleasing to him, so that we may be renewed and changed and live a life worthy of the offer that Jesus gave us, right? I think it's Leonard Ravenhill. He asked this question, is the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? It's a powerful question to answer. Is the things that we are living for worth Jesus Christ dying for? And you can turn to Luke. Almost don't know what to add after this morning. To Luke 22, and we're going to read from verse 39. And I just want to connect some dots this morning for us, and hopefully it all will make sense. So open up your hearts and your ears and hear what the Lord is wanting to say to you. And I just want to spend some time connecting faith and the kingdom and God's will to us. I believe that if we are called to live as sent ones, we are called also to represent, first of all, a king and a kingdom. Amen? And we should understand, and that is why Jesus says, seek the kingdom first. We must understand this kingdom that we come from. We are now born. We are in this world, but we're not from this world. We are now born into a kingdom. We live differently. We make decisions differently, right? We live life differently. And we must understand this kingdom of which we are a part of. Amen? We know, isn't it amazing, that the atonement and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient for the problem of the fall, fully and completely. We have received everything pertaining to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the gospel that we believe, right? The fall introduced sin. And for sin, Jesus has an answer. He gives forgiveness, right? It introduced that sin led to death. And Jesus gives and came to give resurrection life, right? With sin came the problem of diseases and sicknesses. And for that, Jesus brought healing and became our healer, right? And if you look broad spectrum at the Gospels and the ministry of Jesus Christ, you will see Jesus did three things, right? He preached the gospel and he called people to repentance, where they received forgiveness for their sins, right? And the other thing he did, he taught about the kingdom and life in the kingdom. His parables, it was all about the kingdom. He taught his disciples about the kingdom so that they may know the kingdom and that they will live on this earth as if they are from the kingdom and represent Jesus that is from the kingdom, right? And then he went about healing the sick and casting out demons. Would you agree with me? Broad spectrum. Jesus did. He was the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. It is found in Jesus Christ, right? Our theology is built on Jesus Christ. He's the first and the last. He is our great example. He said that he came not to do his own will, but he came to do the will of the Father, right? And I want to, this morning, spend some time just connecting between faith and the kingdom and God's will. And I'm going to do a little bit of revision on something I shared last year, just for us to start grasping this thing about the kingdom and this thing about God's will. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life knowing that I'm in the will of God. Amen? I want to live my life that I know that today I'm living within the will of God. That is our great pleasure, right? That is why we give our lives. Yet it is, if we ask Christians around, are you living, do you have a sense that you are living in God's will? It's a difficult thing to answer. I don't know. I think so. Maybe. I'm not sure. What is God's will, right? What is God's will? And my heart for us this year is that we will truly live as sent ones that know that we are living in God's will for not only for our lives, with our purposes set before us, but that the purposes of Christ will be set for us. Amen? Okay, so that's just a little bit of a backdrop. Let's read in Luke 22, verse 39 through to 46. Just want to highlight some things for you, and we're going to take a little bit of a walk, and not literally, figuratively, and end up again at this passage, okay? This is the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, people say that Calvary is the door to salvation, and if Calvary is the door of salvation, then this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane is the hinges of that door opening. This is an extremely important moment in Jesus' life, and that brought us salvation. He says in verse 39, and he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Apparently, medically, if you are under great stress, the capillary in your skin can start bursting and your sweat becomes mixed with blood and you sweat blood. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Now, there's great debate on what it is that this cup is that Jesus is referring to. And it is most likely that he's not referring to the cross. Because Jesus came and he knew from the beginning. He was single focused. He knew he came. He's the Lamb. That's going to pay for the sins of this world. A sacrifice needed to be made. He knew it was his life. So it's very unlikely that he's asking Jesus, oh, the Father, that he might not be crucified. Okay? He prophesied it all the way through with his disciples. He said, I'm going to the cross. I need to die. And in the moment and in the evening pertaining to his crucifixion, to ask that, Lord, I don't want anymore what you send me to do, highly unlikely. I think the one that I read, the interpretation is that I like to agree with, is that the Lord is in agony because of the spiritual separation that he will face from his Father. Physical death is one thing, but spiritual separation. And I think it's something, it's difficult for us to fathom, to be separated from the Lord, and that is ultimately what hell is. It's eternal separation from the Father. And that is what Jesus looked into the, did on the cross for us, and he paid the price there for us. But I want to draw your attention to this passage. In the middle of this all, it centers around the will of the Father. Okay, this place, and then Jesus speaking just before he is praying to the Father and ask that the cup may be removed from him. Right, just before that, he tells his disciples, pray so that you may not enter into temptation. Then he goes away, he prays to the Father, and then coming back, he finds his disciples, and again he says to them the same thing, pray that you may not enter into temptation. So you've got the will of the Father in the center, and then Jesus giving them these two commands, saying, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Now, Jesus taught us to pray, Father, may your name be glorified, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done, right? May your kingdom come, may your kingdom come into existence, may it move from heaven towards earth and come into existence on the earth. Now, the kingdom is here right now, and it is going to be the fulfillment of it in the future. It's not only in the future, And it's not only now, it is now and in the future. Does that make sense to you? All right? So there's something that we are called to represent on this earth. We are called to be witnesses of the King, right? And of His kingdom. And He asks us, and He goes on, and He taught us to pray, Lord, may Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. This is an amazing prayer. It has been coined and in our Bibles as the Lord's Prayer, but it's most likely more the disciples' prayer, right? In that prayer is the asking for forgiveness of sin, and whoever you know, Jesus had no sin. Amen? If we want to coin a prayer, the Lord's Prayer, I think John 17 would be a good prayer to coin the Lord's Prayer, which is also the high priestly prayer. Now, I just want to demystify a little bit of God's will for you. I think many times if we think of God's will, we think of where I should live, what job I should do, and who I should marry. And I want to tell you now, God's will is so much more than the answer to those three questions. Amen? It's so much more. It's the same thing with our calling. We get very confused with our callings. Right? I want to demystify your call for you, and I'll get into it in a moment. But, you know, if we think of my calling, again, I think of what job I should do, where I should live, or who I should marry. And we think our calling and we think the will of God is only in those things. Now, it is in those things, but it's not only in those things. Who of you know, before you are called to be an apostle, a prophet, or anything, you are first called to follow Jesus. Okay? Your first call is to follow Jesus. Jesus said, come and follow me and I will make you. It is in our following of Jesus that He makes us and calls us and commissions us for specific things. Amen? Now the same is thing with God's will. God has a general will and He's got a specific will. Same with our calling. Who of you know everybody is called to holiness? Who of you know everybody is called to pray? Who of you know everybody is called to ministry? Can I get a big amen, please? If that is revelation to you, if you are following Jesus, you are in the ministry. Amen? I like what Chris Vallotton says. He says that you might suck at it, but you are in it. So you need to receive it and go for it in faith. Amen? You are in the ministry. You are sent by the Lord to wherever you work. But we want to start off with the end product and we want to know the end, right? And then we feel that, okay, if I know the end, then I'll be willing to follow. But that's not faith. Faith is in the here and in the now. It is in me following Jesus, right? Then we start living in the will of the Lord. If we take what He has called us to do now and we do that, that is God's will. Isn't that good? Right? It's not only in all answering all those questions. It is in that, but it is also not in that. Now, we live in a tension each day, and it comes from the fall. In the garden, Adam and Eve sinned. And what happened in that moment, they chose their own will above God's will, right? In that moment, they chose and said, no, I'm not going to do what God has called me to do or asked of me. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I want to eat this fruit. And what happened in that moment, the exaltation of man's will rose and we disobeyed God because we put our own will before God's will. And from that moment, men and we all live in a tension between our own will and the will of the Father. Does that make sense? Okay. And then Jesus comes along and Jesus atones for our sin. And He calls us. He says the kingdom is at hand. He calls us into Himself. He calls us to live in the kingdom and live in the way on this earth that represent the King and that represent the kingdom of the Lord. Right? He calls us in His, and He makes it possible for each one of us, again, to elevate the will of God. That is why to pick up your cross and to die to yourself is so important. That is why we get baptized. Say, Lord, no longer my will, but Your will be done. That I lay down my will. Who of you know that you cannot follow Jesus and still be in control of your own life? I give that up. I'm a bond servant. So, Lord, what do You want to do? You know, many of us follow the Lord and we predetermine what we will do and will not do We predetermine where we will go and where we will not go. I predetermine to what extent will I give my time, my energy, my resources for the kingdom of the Lord. That's not faith. That is not doing God's will. That is not seeking the kingdom. If we fall back into these patterns of thought, we start following our old father and mother, Adam and Eve, that exalted their own will above God's will. We're not following Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So the good news is this. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it is possible for us to do the will of the Lord. It is possible. It is possible for you to do it in your daily life. It is possible. Right, so we are all called to holiness. We are all called to love people. We are all called to these things. And as we give ourselves to this, to the truth of Jesus Christ, as we give ourselves to follow Jesus Christ, Jesus will show you the specifics. He will show you if you need to move. But if he haven't shown you yet to move out of Wellington, you live in Wellington as if the Lord sent you here. If Jesus hasn't moved you to another job, you stay at your job where you're at, and you work there as if Christ himself sent you there, because there's work there for you to be done. The kingdom will not come when you are in the right position, in the right job, or live in the right town. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? He will come when you surrender where you are. He comes. I think everybody wants to slay Goliath. But there was a bear and a lion before Goliath. Amen? They were slain in secret. The greatest battles that you will fight in this year will not be your public one, but it will be a private one. In home, in the secret place. Places where I choose. And my choices, my choice makes a difference for the Lord or not for the Lord. Right? It's the same with God's will. He will show you if there's specifics, but he has revealed to us in Scripture a great deal of his will. Amen? To proclaim the gospel, to pray for the sick, to witness about him, to teach about the kingdom, to live in the kingdom. And as we do this, we come to a place where we can say that we are living in the will of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Will we miss it? Yes, we will. That's why Paul says, listen, forget about where you failed and you stretch yourself again forward to Jesus Christ, to do his will, to seek his will, and to seek his kingdom. Now, back to this passage. It is in this passage in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus has victory over where Adam and Eve failed to have victory. It is in this moment that there's choices to be made. It's again in this moment where Jesus has to choose the Father's will or his own will. Adam and Eve had the choice. They could choose the Father's will above their own will, and they chose their own will, and they sinned. And it is this moment, in these phrases, that Jesus says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. And then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That is a powerful, powerful statement right there. And I think there is a secret in this. And that was the secret of Jesus' life. He said he didn't come to do what he wanted to do. He came, he only does what he sees the Father do. There's something in this, not my will. Not my will. How many times do we pray, Father, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth? But how many do you know, if we want to pray that prayer, we must also include, Father, may your will be done and not my will. Right? Who of you know that if you want to see the kingdom come on the earth, it must first come in me? It's not something only there. Where's the kingdom? It's inside of us. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the kingdom. Right? This is the secret of Jesus' life. And this was a life that was free. He says, nobody takes his life from me, right? But he lays it down. He gives his life. So if we are praying, Father, may your will be done, add to that, and not my will. And I want to suggest to you, that is the greatest temptation of man. Is your own will in competition with the will of the Father. He says to his disciples, keep awake that you do not fall into temptation. Twice. And it just, he teaches us to pray this in the Lord's Prayer as well. But if I look at the garden, I see this is such a great temptation for us. What do I want? What is comfortable for me? What do I like to do? All these kind of things. It's in competition with the will of the Father. Do you sense this sometimes? Huh? Like you see it with your children. It's like you ask them to do one thing and they do the opposite thing. And sometimes even for us, as Jesus asks us, go over there or go and speak to that person or go and visit that person or whatever. He's like, it's Elissie. Yeah? It's the warm. Right? There's a competition going on. And there's a tension between our will and the will of the Father. And I want to suggest to you that there is grace to overcome this temptation. Right, for us to lay down our own will and say, Father, may your will be done and not my will. Right? I like what Daniel Kalenda, he makes a statement in the, and before I get to the statement, the King James version of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples says, may your kingdom come and may your will be done. And it doesn't say on the earth, it says in the earth. And I like he takes you back to Genesis 2:7 that says that man is formed from the earth. And he just asks this question that if we are praying, Lord, may your kingdom come in the earth, what are we asking for? We're asking the Lord, may your kingdom come in me before it comes on the earth. And who of you know that if you want to see the kingdom manifest on the earth, it must first manifest in me, in you, in us, in our hearts. Is that the place where Jesus rules? Because if that is the place, and if we are at the place of surrender, I want to tell you, living water will gush out from your inside, from your heart. Amen? To the places where you go. Right? And who of you know that faith does not grow in works? Faith entails works. Faith grows as we surrender. Amen? I cannot work more to get more faith. As I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and give myself to His will, faith arises. Because I'm not trying to do what I want to do anymore. I do what the Lord is calling me to do. Does that make sense? Right? It grows in this place of surrender. And isn't this what Jesus' life was all about? A life of surrender. And this place, this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane is a moment, a beautiful moment of surrender. Say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And I want to tell you guys, if we surrender, and if you surrender your will to the Lord Jesus Christ, the narrow road that you will be walking on will cut through dark places and dark valleys. And it won't always be easy. And you will come to a place of decision making in those dark places where we learn to pray this prayer. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. The easy route is to do what I want to do. But it is in those dark and difficult times that the Lord comes to us and we are taught to pray this prayer. Not my will, but yours be done. Amen. Fred Meyer always said to us, listen, if you're going through hell, just don't stop. Because then you'll get stuck there. Amen? But as we surrender to Jesus, right? We say, Lord, I seek your will. I take the Bible. I go and read the Bible. I go and seek the scriptures. I see the promises of the Lord and start building on that. Right? Not the doom and the gloom that I see in the future, but what the Lord is seeing in this moment. And what happens? Faith arises. And with faith, it produces hope in our minds, right? And we look to the future and say, we have hope because of our faith today, because of the promises of Christ today and in this moment, right? So I want to encourage us just today with this. Don't be afraid of your own brokenness or your own fallibility. You know, the treasure of the kingdom is in jars of clay. Don't be afraid of that. Why does the Lord put it in jars of clay? Isn't that where grace manifests? That the Lord comes to a broken people that do certain things right, certain things wrong, that's fallible, right? And he comes and inhabits the praises of those people, those fallible people that in faith say, Lord, I cannot trust in my own strength. I need your strength so much. I need it so much, Lord. I need you, Jesus. And then not only to pray that prayer, but then to go out and to live like that. Jesus says to his disciples, if you do not want to fall into temptation, pray. And I love what Frankie said yesterday. You cannot only pray and not go and do, and you cannot do without praying. Those two go hand in hand. And the same, the will of God and the kingdom of God goes hand in hand. Where the kingdom of God comes, his will is done, and where his will is done, his kingdom comes. Right? That means that the dominion of the kingdom goes with you wherever you go, if you are surrendered your will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? He goes where you go, to your workplace and back home and on the street and go shopping. He is there. The dominion of the kingdom comes to all who recognizes the authority of the king, who recognizes the authority of Jesus Christ, submit themselves to him and to his authority and obeys him. I believe the Lord has been speaking to us about obedience and disobedience last year and setting the stage for his kingdom to come. For us to recognize the king, submit to the king, and do what he asks us to do. And he will inhabit that in his kingdom, and his dominion will come, and you will see him at work. Amen. He puts the treasure of the kingdom in jars of clay so that he may get all the glory at the end of the day. Right? That we will do things that we cannot do. And not for ourselves, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is why we live, and that is for who we live. So I want to invite you this morning. Maybe some of you have never prayed, Lord, yes, I've prayed and asked the Lord that his kingdom come and his will be done, but I've never asked him not, I've never included not my will. I've never put in this prayer my will on the table and say, Lord, I give that over to you. Not what I want, but what you want. And maybe some of us has asked, Lord, may your kingdom come on the earth, but has never asked, Lord, may your kingdom come in me. May it come in me. May it change me. So if you want to pray with me, I want to invite you to stand. And we're just going to trust Jesus that as each one of us brings our will before him, that we will just come into a place of surrender, that place where faith is built up, that place where we sacrifice our will and say, Father, we take on your will and we trust, Lord, that your strength will become perfect in our weakness, Lord. And then we're going to go out, Lord, and we're going to live this for you. Lord, I want to thank you that you are here, that you are in our midst. I want to thank you, Jesus, that you came and that you came to bring good news to us, Lord. That you preached repentance, God. That you have given forgiveness of sins, Lord. That you have given eternal life, God. That, Lord, that through the new birth, you have given us life in the kingdom, God. And Lord, we want to come before you this morning. And Lord, we want to ask, may your name be glorified. Lord, we want to ask that your kingdom will come inside of us, but also through us, Lord. And Father, we want to ask that your will be done and not our will, but that your will be done. Father, I want to pray that you will release just grace for prayer and grace for action, Lord. That prayer and action will be connected in our lives, Lord. That we will not only pray without doing, but that we will pray and do, and not only do without praying, God, but that this will be, Lord, the fruit of this house, God. A house of prayer, seeking your face, Lord. And then in faith, going out, God, and do what you ask us to do. And trust your hand to move. So, Father, we want to thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you've been saying to us that we must not lean on our own understanding, but in all things trust you. And Lord, as we bring our will as a sacrifice this morning, we want to ask that you will renew our minds, God. That you will come and take hardened hearts, Lord, and soften them again, God. Lord, and if there's unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord, will you bring it to the surface? I just want to encourage you, go and seek your heart. Just go before the Lord, and if there's unforgiveness in your heart, forgive. And if you struggle to forgive somebody, remember what you were forgiven of. But soft heart, Lord, I pray, God, will you lead us in that, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that you said, Lord, if we do not change and become like children, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray for that childlike faith in our midst, Lord. It says, I trust you with everything, Lord. I take your Bible as the full and complete truth, Lord. And we go after you, Jesus. So Lord, I pray for shackles to be broken off, people to be freed in Jesus' name. We call an end to the cycle of condemnation and being afraid of missing it, being afraid of what people will think of us. Lord, I pray that this house may be known for great boldness as we go out, Lord, as we come, as we first of all run into the throne room of grace, Lord, and fall on our faces before you and say, Jesus, here we are. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. And thank you for your empowerment. That we can live on this earth, sent by Jesus Christ. That our lives may pertain and amount to more than just satisfying ourselves and our and fleshly and earthly desires, Lord. But that our joy may be found in doing what the King asks us to do. Father, thank you that if some of us has to go, you will show it. Thank you that if some of us need to change jobs, you will show it. If some of us has to move, you will show it, Lord. Even for the singles, Lord, you will guide us into who's the right partner, Lord. But for now, for this moment, for the moments of faith, God, I pray, will you take us back to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ to follow you. And thank you for the grace, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you look upon our hearts, Lord, and you see hungry hearts, Lord. You see those hearts that are searching for you, Lord. I pray, will you fill, Lord, to the overflow. And Father, we as a house want to ask you, may your name be glorified, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done in our lives and in Wellington in this year in Jesus' name. And today, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you are here, Lord. Father, I thank you, Father God, that we will just fully throw ourselves onto you and onto the gospel, Lord. Not holding back, Lord, any longer. We thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are good. Thank you for your atonement, Jesus. We love you and we adore you.